WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Easter truce between Russia and Ukraine seems to be no truce. ABC's Patrick Reval.
Vladimir Putin declared this brief 30-hour ceasefire for Easter, but since it went into effect, Ukrainian troops on the ground report that Russian forces are still firing.
The Gaza Health Ministry says Israeli air attacks killed more than 90 people in 48 hours. Reps from Iran and the U.S. met for 4 hours of more talks on Iran's nuclear program in Rome today. People in Vatican City for Easter talking about today's surprise appearance at St. Peter's Basilica by Pope Francis. ABC's Marcus Moore is there.
He stopped to pray. We understand that he was there for about 15 minutes, and it was during that time where he met with some pilgrims who were there.
An emergency Supreme Court ruling today puts a temporary stop to the Trump administration's deporting of Venezuelan migrants held in Texas under the Alien Enemies Act. This is ABC News. In the sex trafficking case of music mogul Sean Diddy Combs, a judge has denied his team's request to delay the trial. ABC's Phil Lipoff.
Sean Combs' trial date is set to go on as expected Friday. A judge ruled Combs' criminal sex trafficking trial will begin next month as scheduled after he denied the defense's request for a 2-month adjournment. The trial is set to begin May 5th with jury selection. The judge said it was unclear why there isn't sufficient time to prepare, especially since 4 different law firms are now representing him.
The Boston Marathon and Mayor Michelle Wu insist that international runners and other foreign visitors remain welcome in the city. They say there's no evidence that travel for this year's race has fallen off in the face of increased border security. Wu said, not far from the finish line, that Boston seeks to be a home for everyone, and this year's marathon has more than 30,000 entrants. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off-ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Moving soon to its new time. Weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A nonprofit is working to help the farmers who lost federal grant money. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
The Honor Farmer Contracts Act would order the United States Department of Agriculture to resume paying farmers from previously signed agreements. The Michael Fields Agriculture Institute is one of more than 350 organizations that have signed on to a letter of support to Congress. Ryan Martin, the executive director, says federal cuts have impacted both their network and their organization.
There's also a lot of legal and operational chaos. So we're sort of stuck navigating these legal gray zones around signed contracts. My part-time job right now, unfortunately, has been canceling contracts and laying off contractors, and we've had to lay off several staff.
The act would require the USDA to unfreeze all signed agreements and contracts, make past due payments quickly, and prohibit the agency from canceling contracts unless there is a breach of contract. The sudden cuts blindsided farmers across the country. Hundreds of farmers in the upper Midwest region participate in USDA-funded programs that pay farmers for serving their communities. Clint Bland, owner of Bland Family Farm and Farms of Illinois.
This funding has far more impacts than just paying one farmer. All this food was going out throughout the communities that we were serving to disadvantaged folks who needs food. And then it was also helping the business, and everything was just kind of flowing around. It kept the money right here and helped out the community.
Bland says the uncertainty has forced him to make operational changes, such as staff cuts and modifications to planting strategies to mitigate potential losses. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, a high near 56. Partly cloudy, lows around 36 tonight. Showers are likely for Sunday with a high near 55. Showers may be a rumble of thunder Sunday night, a low near 41. Showers likely Monday, 55 degrees.
Right now, it's 55.
Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I'm dedicating this episode to you, the listeners. Your voices matter, and I want to hear how significantly we influence your lives.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There it is. You know what it is. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the boards on the boards, and I am Dr. Tim Slecker. Yeah, and it's the Saturday show. We are happy that you guys are joining us on a Saturday, everybody out there. Or if not, if you're downloading as a podcast, we also appreciate that, you know. Hey, and if you are downloading it as a podcast, you know, put this out right early. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get, you know. I even heard somebody going, well, I listen to my podcast on iHeart. I'm like, okay, that's great. If you're listening to Busted Pencils, we don't care which podcast platform you're using, but it would be great if you told us what you thought. Even those of you who think it's not that good, you guys, tell us that. We want to know. We want to hear it. You know, we'll make fun of you on the show when we get that comment, but, you know, we'll appreciate it. Johnny Lupinacci, how you doing on this Saturday, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. It's Saturday. You know, it's fully spring. It's feeling like spring, even in some of the places where it hasn't quite felt like spring yet. It's been more like sprinter. We talked about that some cold mornings last week, but it's feeling good. It's feeling like it's becoming spring, and lots of exciting stuff happening. Got to spend a lot of time in classrooms this week. Got to connect with a lot of the teachers out here in Washington. Check in on a few things, you know, the current policies.
Yeah.
Of federal government, how it's impacting their classrooms.
What are they saying?
Stuff that's on their mind. Tim, more and more, like, I mean, there's not a teacher I didn't work with this week that isn't concerned about the safety of their immigrant community, of their diverse community, the as Tim, you call it, the chilling effect. But right. I think even the very real experience that, you know, lots of people are being deported, and that's very heavy on teachers. So they were talking about how they feel, how they're getting by, what they're doing to make sure they're able to tend to their health, because it's a heavy moment for them, but also for their students. They're quite worried, and as they should be. It's a difficult time to be a young person. As we said on here, our classrooms have become battlegrounds for the kind of politics that our current administration is unleashing, with more than just a force on families and communities. It's really, you know, an attack on them. And so that's been heavy. It's been heavy. There's not a classroom I went to or a school that was not impacted recently by that. And so it's heavy. It's on their hearts. It's on their minds. And their students are asking lots of questions about it. So it's also part of what they're learning about in social studies. How do we care for one another in our community? What does it mean to be part of a strong democracy? And how can they become citizens that make this a very different country for their community, right? So that's me being optimistic about some heavy moments in classrooms.
That's what you are here for. You're the optimism to my dark, gloomy pessimism.
Hey, I think in a former life, or even in this one, it's never too late. I think I'm a cheerleader. I really do. I love to cheer for any kind of event. I love to be happy and supportive at concerts, band concerts, all those things. Man, I'm there. If people are doing their thing, I'm excited for them. So I'm especially that way about teaching too. But it's not all fun and games. It's not all happy highlighted moments. Although, Tim.
Okay.
Let's get to it. I had a big happy moment a couple weeks
ago. Yeah, we did.
The Wisconsin elections with you and me chatting each other across the texting one another in a group chat. Yeah, it was awesome. Let's not bury it any further, Tim. What do we got today?
Hey, we have our old friend. No, not she's not old. She's an old friend into the show. And we're talking about Teacher Hallie from Educators Amplified. Yeah, that one who ran for school board. And as we found out, also won. They won the school board. In fact, lots of interesting, well, I'd say, let's put it this way. Hallie, what we found out, and welcome back to Busted Pencils, by the way.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, your win is awesome. And what we heard across Wisconsin was too, is that the slate of Moms for Liberty candidates didn't do so well. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, that's because they were running against Teacher Hallie. And I'm sorry, but you know, there's just, you're a Moms for Liberty.
I don't know anybody that can beat Teacher Hallie.
I was going to say, I mean,
I really don't. And I mean that. I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan. We're a big fan. You know, it's close fam here between Busted Pencils and Amplified, and especially around Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna being more than just special people in our education community, but just rock stars when it comes to what's going on in schools and what teachers are experiencing. Mm-hmm. Right. And families. And like, what's it like to have a child in school, to be an educator, to be thinking about what's best for our community and our children and their future community? So, I mean, I can't imagine. Moms for Liberty aside, I love a good victory. Right. But mm-hmm. but I don't think anybody could beat these rock stars in the election. And Hallie showed us that in the election. Let's go. Big hats. We give our flowers here at Busted Pencils. Lots of flowers to you.
People watching on YouTube, you two cheap idiots couldn't send her real flowers. Hallie has to, you know, fake that she's holding flowers.
We mean like verbal flowers.
Okay, verbal.
The praise, the word praise, the bouquet of kind words that are also true.
I like words of affirmation.
Yes.
Okay, Hallie. So, how you feeling? Tell us about, you know, the process. So, you know, we interviewed you, but, you know, now that it's over, you've been elected. You haven't been installed yet. But no. I mean, so what's going on in school board member Teacher Hallie's world?
Yeah. So it was wild. It was like that day, that night, you know, like it's just wild. And how so many people would say to me, like, of course you're going to win. And I'm like, I'm not going to just talk like that. Like, it's just not in me. And so my mind in its stress and excitement would really think about, like, because there were six people running for three spots. So it was more just like, what are the combinations and what will it be like? And ding, 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 you know, like that's how my mind was.
Right.
And so when I was at my election night party, which was a ton of fun, shout out to Sal's Pub and Grill.
I'm in the nice. Thank you, Sal's.
Yes. It was really funny because, okay, so talk about regulation. Like, not, you know, I was dysregulated from nerves and excitement, right? So it was like 91% reporting, and my uncle's trying to talk to me to be like, statistically, it's impossible that you wouldn't get a spot at this point. And I was like, I cannot talk math. Like, I need to see 100% before I get excited. And then, you know, something I'll never forget though too is like, right, my children were there. So at like 91%, when it's like you're almost to 100% reporting, my children are like, we made up a dance. Will you come watch us?
Okay, a celebration dance.
Yeah. I'm like, if this is not motherhood combined with, you know, like, or parenthood, whatever, combined with running for an election, I don't know what is. So the 100% came in while I was watching my children do a silly dance. So that was
perfect.
And then, right, it never crossed my mind, but I got the most votes. And that has just been something where I am like, whoa. Like, nice. That felt really good. Not just because I'm the top, but because for me, this experience has been like the act of being working as an individual and then being out there so much has been so vulnerable, has been so like such a learning experience for me that I was like, oh, this was like the big, like, you did the right thing. And everyone, you know, not everyone, but a lot of people have your back.
Well, okay. So thinking about that, so there were six people running for three spots.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, people naive to politics are like, so like on Survivor, who did you, you know, kind of create alliances with and think?
Right. Yeah. We had alliances.
Okay. You know, so working through that, but I mean, so thinking about that, as you said, the exposure, the kind of vulnerability, I mean, you know, from the time you started campaigning until the time you were done, do you feel like you got better at being in front of people and being vulnerable? Or did, you know, talk about that moment of standing up and somebody going, so Hallie,
right,
I would like to know, will you, whatever. Yeah. What was that like?
I mean, what's interesting to me is that, right, education is my thing. Yeah. So if you want to talk to me face to face about education, I could talk for weeks, you know, like I feel very comfortable talking about education and from the lens of not just like my opinion, right? Like I speak from experience. I speak from staying in touch with teachers. Like I really understand the system. The piece that brought me the most anxiety was social media because, right, first of all, it's toxic in and of itself, but right, you're against a computer screen, you know, and I didn't like how that felt because, right, I'm used to talking with among people. But what then I ended up trying to do is make me as visibly like human to human, like visible as possible through my social media. So it wasn't just me typing up stuff behind a computer screen. It was like me recording myself speaking. And so that brought me the most vulnerability of like, all right, this is on here. I know I have a captive audience and like it's stuck in, right, the ethers forever. Like, and so that concept got me, but it ended up being the thing that people were like, I had this Talk About It Tuesday series. They'd be like, your Talk About It Tuesday series like helped me so much. I don't know how you do it, but you just can explain something that's really complex so simply. And I was like, yeah, like that's my skill. So it was neat to do that. And then someone else said to me, and I was like, I never even thought about this, was they were like, and we knew to come every Tuesday. And I was like, yeah, genius marketing. Didn't even think about that.
Oh, come
on.
I just
like that Talk and Tuesday sounded the same.
Don't say didn't think about that. Own it. It was totally Hallie doing what she does best.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Busted Pencils and Fully Leaded Education Talk. It's a Saturday show. Loving it. We've got Teacher Hallie on. Yeah, that one. The one who won school board. The most votes, in fact. Ooh. She did it. She kicked butt. She's talking about, though, the experience of going from, you know, that first time where you're taking questions to that, what it's like after. But then, Hallie, you brought something up, this social media. I didn't think about it and how I think we'll want to talk more about social media experience and running for politics. Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, yeah. All right. I love that bump of music. That's good stuff. Appreciate it. Jacob, chairman of the board, bringing us our totally legal music to use here at Busted Pencils. Pencil Busters out there, if you're like, hey, that's not our familiar bumper music, it's not, but it's close enough. It's close enough. And for the time being, we've got some of our friends and guests who have reached out and said, hey, happily, we'll create you some rocking music for Busted Pencils. So listeners, expect some fully leaded bumper music coming soon from guests you may be familiar with. That's right. There are, you know, punk rock teachers out there who are excited to, you know, to shred some guitar for Busted Pencils. But we are back, listeners. It's Saturday afternoon. We appreciate you, pencil busters out there, especially teachers out there, you know, hopefully getting regulated over the weekend. We have with us Hallie Schmeling, school board elected. Mm-hmm. And Hallie, you know, we got into it a little bit in the first segment, but refresh for our listeners, you know, kind of why and how you got into deciding, hey, I think I'm going to run for school board. And then tell us a little bit. I mean, I'm stacking the questions here.
That's fine. But
then tell us a little bit about your platform and kind of the things that, you know, folks elected you for and that we can, you know, be excited about, because the people have spoken. Uncle Mathematics gave you the stats early. And I love that because, you know, I'm a stats guy. So I'm like, no, statistically, this is in the bag. You know, and you're like, no, I'm going to go watch the kids do this dance and then wait for the 100%. I love that story. That's so real.
Yeah.
So real. Yeah. I love that for you because it's exactly how it goes down. But tell us, what did the people in the largest numbers of the vote, what did they back? Like, give our listeners a little overview.
You know, funny enough, after we got talking after the break about social media, you know, it what guided me through this entire campaign election was staying grounded in like why I was doing it, especially because it was something that I identified as going out of my comfort zone. You know, I'm used to being a teacher and I love being in the classroom and I love being with students. And so it was kind of bizarre to me to be like, oh, okay, I'm just going to run a campaign. And so, I mean, that's what it was grounded in, right? Like, I'm an educator and I have a podcast about how educators are so often not listened to, heard, their expertise isn't valued. And then that ultimately affects our students. And so that's what it was grounded in. And that's what I think people really supported was I am a teacher first. You know, and so being able to explain from that lens, explain from that expertise, I think I was just able to bring issues that are going on within the school district to them in meaningful ways that connected back to how it affects our professionals and how it affects then ultimately our students. And so it was honestly, I was just educating people. And I knew that was my strength. I knew that's what I do best. But right. When people would say something against me, or if somebody would put up a social media post that was like very anti-Hallie, it was staying grounded in like, okay, I can either go after it and be like, this is why you're wrong. This is why this is ridiculous, yada, yada, yada. Or I can stay grounded in like, I'm offering my truth and that's what I can offer. And I already did. So it doesn't need any explanation. And that's what I came back to time and time again, but it was crazy. I mean, you get advice from everybody. and some people I really respect, but still having to be like, I respect you and I've got to stay with me in this. And I think what's going to get me across this finish line is not getting into the semantics of tit for tat. Like, I'm offering you my expertise. I'm offering you what I understand about what's going on in the district, and I can't get lost in the sauce, you know?
So you're saying people were suggesting you sling some mud?
100%.
And yeah, you're like, yeah, I know. No, sorry. I you know, I'm not getting my hands dirty like that. It's just,
well,
not-
or not even like, for me, it was just more like, I'm an educator. Like, I've dealt with administrators that I disagree with. I've dealt with a parent who's confused about something that I might be doing with their child. I've dealt with children who are adolescents who think everybody's against them. Like, so for me, I just was like, right, I wouldn't go at a parent. I wouldn't go at a student. You know what I mean? So why would I do that in this campaign? Even if people think I'm weak, even if people think I'm not standing up for myself, I'm like, no, I am. But like, yeah. I already said what I needed to say.
I love it. And there's something, Hallie, that reminds me of, you know, lessons you've taught here on Busted Pencils, you know, about staying regulated. Mm-hmm. And it's dysregulating to be in that, you know, like, I've been there. I was I tried my hand at keyboard warrior stuff over the years in social media. Like, are you kidding me? Tap, type, like, yeah. You know, firing back. And I was like, I have a sharp tongue. So I'm like, yeah, we could go. We could debate. Let's go. Here's your 3 points. Here's my 3 points. Like, yeah. You know, and it's dysregulating.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. People were in the comments, but yeah. Just not me.
Yeah. I love it because staying regulated, staying focused on the things that matter. I mean, that is strength. And that is modeling a kind of leadership I think we are in great need of, not only in our school districts, but across the board. So big, again, sending flowers to Hallie Schmaling about this, because that's true. It's like, that's a form of strength that doesn't often get recognized as such. So big hats off to that.
Yeah, it was a lot of meditation. It was a lot of regulated. Still. Yeah, it was. Of and like, also, what should I do? They're lying about me. What should I do? And then like settling, and then the decision would come.
So more flowers coming, because I'm a big fan, obviously. I mean, listeners know, but there was something really unique you did. And I'm curious, is it going to keep going? I love it. Talk about it Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
I love talk about it Tuesdays. Did I call it the right thing? I think sometimes I make up stuff in my talk about it
talk
Tuesday.
Talk about it Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
What is talk about it Tuesdays? Tell our listeners. And then let me know, is there still going to be talk about it Tuesdays or some kind of thing?
Right. So talk about a Tuesday was taking things that are going on within the district. So from my experience as a community organizer, book banning really set fire within our community of people being enraged about that. But at the same time, there were some curriculum changes going on that, as much as I would try to educate people about it, didn't grab onto it. And right, as an organizer or just as an advocate for education, I was like, okay, you got to go with what people are willing to hear. So then when I was campaigning, I was like, okay, like maybe this is an opportunity for people to hear more about what's going on. And so I was able to share the curriculum stuff. I talked about like the book removals, book bans, whatever we want to call them, but more not from I always try to keep it more from a space of like, here's just what happened, as opposed to like, and I think this, and this is how it should be. And so it was just an opportunity to talk about like, what's going on within the inner workings of the district, and then its effect on educators and its effect on students. And I would just do that every Tuesday from like the end of February to when elections were. Just informing the community about what's going on and what that means from an educator lens.
That's Teacher Hallie. Oh my God. She is bringing it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, Teacher Hallie, she kicked butt, won that school board election. We're going to ask her, though, some of the hard questions when we get back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The Easter truce between Russia and Ukraine seems to be no truce. ABC's Patrick Reval.
Vladimir Putin declared this brief 30-hour ceasefire for Easter, but since it went into effect, Ukrainian troops on the ground report that Russian forces are still firing.
The Gaza Health Ministry says Israeli air attacks killed more than 90 people in 48 hours. Reps from Iran and the U.S. met for 4 hours of more talks on Iran's nuclear program in Rome today. People in Vatican City for Easter talking about today's surprise appearance at St. Peter's Basilica by Pope Francis. ABC's Marcus Moore is there.
He stopped to pray. We understand that he was there for about 15 minutes, and it was during that time where he met with some pilgrims who were there.
An emergency Supreme Court ruling today puts a temporary stop to the Trump administration's deporting of Venezuelan migrants held in Texas under the Alien Enemies Act. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers win their third in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-3 win over the A's at AmFam Field. Caleb Durbin, called up from Nashville, made his major league debut with 2 hits on 4 at-bats, a run scored, and a big defensive play from his spot at third base. Game 2 of this series is tonight. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard back after just 1 month of treatments for a blood clot in his right leg. Lillard says the early warning signs were not easy to detect.
I mean, I was at dinner and I could, you know, usually if I have a strain, I could feel it when I walk. You know, I know what that felt like because I was familiar with it. But this, I was at dinner and my leg just felt swollen. You know, it was like super tight. So I think that was the toughest part throughout this entire time was, you know, that first couple of days when I first started to feel it, it was obvious that it was there. You know, I didn't know it was a blood clot, but once I found out that's what it was, I knew what it was, you know, why it was so sore and swollen. And that was kind of what led me to go to the team in the first place because I was just like, this ain't normal, you know.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, a high near 56. Partly cloudy, lows around 36 tonight. Showers are likely for Sunday with a high near 55. Showers may be a rumble of thunder Sunday night, a low near 41. Showers likely Monday, 55 degrees.
Right now, it's 55.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While corrosive democracy news from Washington continued this week, state news ranged from good in Delaware and Mississippi, mixed in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, to downright ugly in New Hampshire. Voting Rights Lab reports the Delaware Senate advanced SB 2 and SB 3, constitutional amendments allowing 10 days of early voting and no excuse absentee voting. Legislative versions of both bills passed last year, but the Delaware Supreme Court found that the state constitution didn't enable them. The General Assembly must pass them again next year for them to be adopted. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered Mississippi to redraw state Senate districts for DeSoto County, which it found violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act by diluting a majority black section of the county, according to Mississippi Today. State officials in North Carolina found fewer issues among the 5,000 military and overseas voters than the Supreme Court candidate Jefferson Griffin claimed, but the highly questionable post-election review of voter eligibility continues. Pennsylvania Attorney General Dave Sunday appealed a federal court ruling directing county officials to count otherwise eligible mail-in ballots without a date. The New Hampshire Senate advanced SB 213, which would require voters applying by mail for an absentee ballot to enclose a copy of their birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, almost certainly disenfranchising otherwise eligible voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk about the price of oil with Mr. Global and what that means for consumers. Hour number two, we'll talk about organ donation. I hope you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You know what that is. It's Busted Pencils. Yeah, it's new bumper music. Yeah, it's awesome. That's our new producer, Jacob, chairman of the board. Jacob, thanks so much, man, for finding us legal music, my friend. Thank you.
My expertise is in legal music. So I don't know if Jess was a legal expert, but I am a legal music expert.
We love it. It still keeps that tone. Oh, yeah. It's Busted Pencils Saturday. You know, if you're listening out there in Wisconsin, driving around, got your Civic Media app going, or you're just in the car, even listening to one of the local, many local radio stations that Civic Media covers all across the state of Wisconsin. Appreciate you joining us. And yes, everybody downloading for the podcast, of course, we still love you too. In fact, if you are listening on the podcast, whether it's Apple, whether it's Spotify, whether it's iHeart, whatever it is, hey, let us know what you think. Give us a review and rate us, you know, because maybe one day Busted Pencils might show up in that, you know, those top 10 podcasts of the week. But that only happens when you're out there doing your part and letting people know that you like the show, that you rate the show, and that you got good things to say about us. We are with Teacher Hallie, about to be inducted as a brand new school board member after a long, hard-fought campaign with mud flying between candidates. And no, actually, Hallie, you've been talking about this and really modeling, as Johnny said, leadership, compassion, thoughtfulness. And what I was really taken aback by the way you explained about approaching issues such as the book bans, right? Mm-hmm. Let's use that one as an example because, mm-hmm. you know, people can get really emotional about that. It's like, what, you're taking away my books? And, well, oh my God, that book's available. What are you talking about? And, yeah. you know, you could have easily positioned yourself as, I'm going to fight every book ban. And what I heard you saying was, is that I'm going to take the path of education and give people a sense of what is book banning, what happens, how it goes forward. And even, you know, you say, and how that informs curriculum and the curriculum process, because I don't think, you know, our neighbors, as we point out, they don't understand or, and I hate when I say don't understand because that sounds belittling, but they're not part of recognizing and realizing what goes into making curriculum decisions at the school board level, school board and book bans. And so they hear the rhetoric, the fire, and you presenting a moment to educate. I got to imagine that that was compelling in its own way, that actually is way better than being for, being against, but just really being a truth teller.
Yeah, I guess so. Thank you for saying it so eloquently.
Wait, mark that moment, Jacob, mark that down. Tim said something eloquently. Holy crap.
One Saturday in April when Tim did that.
I've never had to mark that before, so I'm not exactly sure, but I'll figure it out.
All right. Oh, Hallie. But no,
yeah, you know. Yeah, I can only come as myself, right? Yeah. And that's kind of my thing. You know, it's interesting because, like I said, like it was something I received a ton of feedback on, and that because I was able to keep them 3 minutes or less was always my goal. So it wasn't like you had to sit and watch a seminar of me talking about it for 30 minutes. You know, like I tried to keep it bite size. I mean, maybe some more people would have liked 30 seconds, but I was like, let me give a little extra background, you know? So I went to 3 minutes. And so people really liked being educated that way. And I would love to continue doing stuff like that because I also ran on being very transparent, but it's also like, oh my gosh, I'm officially, well, April 28th, I'll officially be an elected official. So, wow. So as much as I know about education, as much as I know about the system, I don't know as much about right? Being an elected official, even like I have to do Robert's Rules of Order for our board meetings. And so I love it. I'm learning. But I just have to understand what's in my parameters. You know, I know the, you know, like you see other government officials, you know, from the state level, federal level, putting out stuff on their social media. So I know I have rights. It's just a matter of what, you know, and I understand and respect there's closed session that I cannot talk about that's confidential. But to me, that just reminds me of being a teacher, right? I dealt with confidential information all the time. But it's just a little different being elected now versus like an employee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Thinking about that, you know, just like Robert's Rules of Order, Johnny, you're thinking about it. It's like, oh, fuck. I mean, who knew there were so many ways to make people not be allowed to talk? Right. I don't know, Johnny, your experience with Robert's Rules of Orders. I mean, my first introduction, I got to say, was, you know, 20 years old, joining a fraternity. And we had to follow Robert's Rules of Orders and pledging the fraternity. Actually, part of our pledging, on top of some of those other things that happened while you were pledging, yes, that happened. They gave us a Robert's Rules of Order book that we had to learn, supposedly, because that was the way we conducted fraternity meetings. And it was an interesting experience in and of itself. So, yeah, I think, but talk about what we ended up doing, though, is that we said, OK, everybody learn Robert's rules and we're going to apply Bob's rules.
Right. So right.
Like an amended version. I mean, I like Robert's Rules of Order because I don't know. It's one way to organize a group of people on like when you're listening and when you're talking and what's the kind of process and procedure for sharing. I don't know. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I've learned quite a bit. I admittedly am reading like, you know, those like Four Dummies series. So yeah. I'm like, give me the Robert's Rules for Dummies. So I have learned, though, that it's supposed to be there for an opportunity for everybody to speak.
Yeah.
And so I get it from we're all elected board members. There's seven of us. Right. I think for it to be an effective board, we shouldn't always agree. So this is a way to respectfully have time for everybody to speak. But at the same time, I've been listening to podcasts and other books that are like, this is a farce. This is like the devil, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah. But they're more talking about like their garden club or something, you know? And so I'm like, maybe it's different because it's an elected position. And, because of the dynamics of our board, I'm viewing it as a positive that I won't be pushed out.
Yeah.
You know, that as long as I understand my rights in it, that's why I'm really studying it, I'll be able to have a voice at the table.
Absolutely. So, good for studying it too, because it will have in there, right, that built-in opportunity to say, hey, this needs to be opened up for discussion. And within that discussion, we need to ideally hear all the voices.
Yeah. So how do I say that in Robert's Rules language, though? That's where I'll be like, power of the order or whatever.
Quick deviation, just making me think, though, man, load up chat on your phone and just, you know, Robert's Rules. I got to imagine AI knows every trick there is to Robert's Rules of Order. In fact, the For Dummies series right now is actually, from what I understand, is taking a hit right now because people who know how to use AI don't need to go to that anymore. So anyway, quick TV. All right, Hallie, though.
Yes.
One of the things we try to, you know, we celebrate, you've been on the show with us, is that what you did, a teacher, a parent who stepped up to the moment, instead of reacting to politicians, you jumped in, you modeled. I'm wondering if you heard from any teachers during this process that said, oh my God, I want to do this too. Should I? Or did you get any, oh my God, I could never do that. Thinking about that, your impact on modeling for educators and parents, the way to step into a decision-making role.
Yeah, I think what I experienced more of was two different things. So from parents, it was more like, yeah, how can I get more involved? How come I don't know about these things? How does this work? You know, lots of questions about like how to, or, you know, just how does this go? So I could see like people getting more involved as a community member. Educators, I felt like the ones that I spoke to that were very much in support, I think it was an avenue for them to feel hope and for them to just feel like, okay, not all is lost when they have felt like that. So it was, I feel like I was more of a space for inspiration for educators than I was of like, now take action, you know, like leave your job and become a school board member with me. it was just more like, okay, hopefully I can get back to what I know in the classroom since the community backed you, you know what I mean, by electing you. So that felt really good. I got tons and tons and tons of messages from teachers the next day of like, you know, we just feel good. It feels good to take a breath of fresh air for a moment because it's been so toxic and so top down and so disheartening for so long. So, you know, being very thankful that.
I think one of the problems, Johnny, is that a lot of people just don't know what's possible. And I like that Hallie's coming in here with some of these positive things that people can do to get involved in their community, be part of a solution. And I think that helps get rid of some of that hopelessness that people feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Hallie, for what you're doing. And like Jacob had said, and Tim was digitizing a bit, so we'll get Tim back in the fold here. But, you know, I love that, like speaking truth to, you know, broadening and opening the discussion for people to both learn, but to be part of making change. That does represent what are the needs of our community, right? What are the needs? Yeah. I'm going to use that as a little bit of a segue and, you know, build on what you've been sharing. But from your kind of experience and your expertise, I mean, I can imagine people voted with confidence that you are the person for the school board position. What are some of the, you know, big needs that you kind of see on the horizon for the Menominee Falls School District?
You know, it's not unique to Menominee Falls, but I would say, so I'm going to say this probably nationwide, is the need to value and listen and bring forth educators into the decision-making process. So much. I mean, like, I know you guys yell this from the rooftop. I'll yell it from the rooftop. Teachers are trying to yell it from the rooftop, but I don't know who's listening. I think little by little, more and more people are hearing it, but how much is being dictated through the hierarchy system for teachers that they have to do versus what they know is best for children. That to me is like the number one thing, you know, like, and even sometimes teachers who do speak up and then a vote goes to the school board and the school board shuts it down. Like my mind is blown when that happens. And I understand that it's a reality. It's something that I experience in the classroom. So it doesn't rattle me anymore. It's just more like, wow, why aren't we involving the people, the professionals that are with our students in the decision-making process? Because they have that lens. And so that's what I would say. Number one, that is like, was my number one thing when I was campaigning, that I was like, I am for educators. I am for hearing their input to help us inform the decisions we make. And I would say that's everywhere.
That's Teacher Hallie, newly elected school board member, about to be installed in a few days. Well, almost about a week or so.
Yeah.
Teacher Hallie, you got to come back, though, and tell us, you know, we want to report after you've been installed. Teacher Hallie, thanks for busting pencils with us. Hey, Johnny and Tim, break it down when we get back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so, they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. It's Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and Jacob, chairman of the boards, our producer there, bringing the awesome music. That's what we do. We just finished talking to newly elected school board member, Teacher Hallie from Educators Amplified. Yeah, good partner, good friend of the show. Johnny, I know she, when I asked her the question of, you know, inspiring other educators to step into this role, and, you know, she was kind of like, well, I don't know. I gotta say, I think just by doing it and winning and what she's doing and the talk about, I gotta imagine teachers are going, wait a minute, I can do this too then.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's leading by example.
Yeah,
in such a strong way, and right on, I mean, for lack of better words, right on brand for Educators Amplified.
Yeah.
Like modeling, you know, that not only do students in classrooms, you know, deserve a regulated adult teaching them, highly qualified, you know, teachers that not only know their stuff, but know how to stay regulated and balanced.
Mm.
So important. And then taking that to the next level, the decision makers in our local school communities, our school board members, as being capable, not only knowledgeable of education and what teachers' experiences are and, you know, the important curricular decisions and budgetary, you know, conversations and decisions that get made at that level, but being regulated at that as well, the importance of a regulated leader in education. So big ups. And I love that, you know, Tim, I've always been a big fan since early premonitions. You know, listeners, pencil busters out there know that every new year, Tim and I make, you know, we do premonitions of what we hope to
prognostications.
Prognostications of what we hope to see in the coming year. And for a few years in a row, mine continues to be that more teachers move into elected positions, move into leadership roles, you know, and step into, you know, teaching is already a political job. You know, just teaching is, you know, you're working for the United States government. You're working for your state. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing important work to instill democratic values and ensure that we have knowledgeable citizens that are learning to be, you know, participants and contributors to our democracy. So that's already political work. But then there are elected positions like school board being one of them, that we want to see more educators doing, and exciting to see, you know, Hallie go in that direction. And I agree with you, Tim. I think it's going to be, you know, part of the inspiring movement of more educators running for elected offices.
You know, thinking about that too, in fact, you know, we know there are more listeners out there who've either themselves have stepped in or know someone, a teacher, you know, who stepped in. Put this out there, and we try to do this. Invitation is open to come on Busted Pencils, just like Teacher Hallie did. You know, if you're an educator out there who has, you know, made that decision to do, you know, both be an awesome educator and also stepping into let's just say, the political fray to make sure that the voices of educators are also at these decision-making tables, not because you're going to get your way or make things happen, but the reality is so that voice is there. You know, when you hear educators amplify Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna all the time, their biggest frustration is just the simple fact that educators' voices are shut out of any of these decision-making situations. And in fact, they'll tell you their reason for putting together their podcast, Educators Amplified, was based on that simple fact that educators' voices are absent from the discussions around policy that affect teachers' lives, that affect the kids' lives. And so, you know, this is that just awesome, you know, moment that we want to keep seeing, which is more educators making sure that the voices continue to be amplified. And, you know, again, to remind you out there, hey, if you're, you know, you're an educator, you've ran for office, you run for office, you've been successful, we want to talk to you. Come on, Busted Pencils, because how we make our prognostication, and maybe this is a little bit of playing with insider information on the market here, is that, you know, we want to inspire that movement, though, too, so that our prognostications absolutely do come to, you know, make us legitimate prognosticators in that. So, and the way we do that, though, is we build momentum, we build the team, and we continue to have the discussions, which is, again, not about educators getting their way, but making sure educators' voices are part of the decisions and part of the decision-making calculus and how these things happen. I know, Johnny, it was a great show we had there today. Love it when Teacher Hallie comes on the show. Love Saturdays with you and Jacob. I think it's some of the, my, you know, just something I love to do on a Saturday. And we want to make sure that all of you continue to do that. It's Busted Pencils. And you know what it is, Johnny? It's time for your moment of zen. Education becomes most rich and alive when it confronts the reality of moral conflict in the world.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils broadcast today with elected school board member Hallie Newman-Schmeling. And remember to grab great podcasts chock full of more fully leaded education talk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website, or you can visit us at bustedpencils.com. Hey, listeners, don't be late for homeroom on Monday, and make sure that you catch next week's class and session on Wednesday. You find us on Fridays with hurdles and home runs. And of course, just like today, catch the Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for an hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival Program Director Kirsten Larson, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them.
let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More protests against the Trump administration happening around the U.S. in Washington.
If we're talking about the things that Trump needs to stop, like, why are we in war with our allies? Why are we attacking Canada? This is ludicrous.
Meaning verbally, not physically attacking Canada. Emergency Supreme Court ruling today puts a temporary stop to the Trump administration's deporting of Venezuelan migrants held in Texas under the Alien Enemies Act. The Easter truce declared by Russian President Putin is apparently not happening. Ukrainian troops and President Zelensky saying Russian forces are still shooting and sending attack drones. A week after the first session, reps from Iran and the U.S. met for 4 hours of more talks on Iran's nuclear program in Rome today. Pope Francis's schedule for Easter Mass tomorrow is so far not announced. That'll depend on his condition and the weather. This is ABC News. An emergency.